Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, and this is Timmy.
Hello, everybody.
Coming to you from the Great Lakes area, beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Coming right up, it is the Book of Acts, chapter 24, and we'll see what happens when people are so upset with the truth, and they just want to kill the truth. And this is Acts, chapter 24, and let's pick it up, Acts, chapter 24, verse 1. And here's Paul, you know, he's down in jail. He got arrested, but he got saved more like by the Roman soldiers, by the Roman occupying force from these Jews, which means an adjective. They are hostile to Lord Jesus Christ and his followers. They don't like the truth. Why? Because there's a financial interest in the outcome to putting on a ceremonial, big religious show. And there's nothing new under the sun. We see it today in these big mega churches and in the Catholic churches. It's all about ceremony and show, and it'll leave you biblically illiterate. And that's on you, by the way. If you're not being taught the truth, then that's up to you. And that's what happens. People develop emotional attachments towards their preacher or pastor. And then what happens? If he's not teaching the Bible, what's he teaching you? You have to look at that guy and just like, is this guy teaching the Bible or not? Like, you sit in your pickup truck like we did. Remember, we'd go to a church for a while, and then we'd sit in a pickup truck after, maybe, you know, went there for a few months. And so, this guy hasn't taught us nothing, right? There's emptiness here. This is all about show and adrenaline and using this book as a random book of quotes and getting a rock and roll band up there and calling that worship. Be very careful. Do not be deceived.
It's difficult, and I understand why it's difficult for people, because going there, I felt like I was part of something.
Yeah.
And I felt a connection to the people that were there. I felt wanted. I felt like I belonged. So I understand.
Yeah.
And the sugar sweet sermons, yeah, when I left, I was pumped up. I felt really great. But like Michael said, we would sit and discuss what we'd learned. And we had never learned anything.
It was a sugar crash. Yeah. And yeah, it's a cultural event, and it's set up like that. Do not be deceived. You know, after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Look at this posse coming down. This is just pure hatred. They couldn't follow Paul, remember, because the Roman soldiers left at 9, which is like 400 of them and a bunch of horses, like 70 horses, to get Paul out of there from this mob scene that wants to lynch him, right? They want to kill him. And now it takes them 5 days to come down, and they have the high priest, you know, that we read about in the last chapters, elders, and a certain orator. So they got this guy who can really cake it on. He'd be like an F. Lee Bailey or a Kardashian, one of the lawyers who just cakes it on. I guess I'm dating myself back into the 90s.
But yeah, if you say Kardashians now.
Oh, I forgot about that. He was a lawyer for OJ.
Yes.
I don't know the girl Kardashians. Yeah, I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah,
but
he's talking about the lawyer.
All right, if you like an orator, this guy can cake it on. Listen to this guy cake it on. Watch this. To inform the governor against Paul. And he wasn't charged with anything, by the way. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. Whoa, dude, listen to him just cake it on for Felix, right? Saying, hey, you know what? This is an occupying force that was taxing them and just looting them. And here he is saying, oh, if it wasn't for you and keeping the peace, because we can't do it ourselves, obviously, they implicate themselves. Always liars come around and implicate themselves. I have a phrase for that. I can't remember it all the time, but they always bust themselves anyways. Look at this. Very worthy deeds are done. Yeah, you're occupying force, an army that came in and just took over nation by thy providence. You know, that's thoughtful and caring. We use providence now. God is thoughtful and caring for us, for whomsoever will. To understand, we have to submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ to get back home to Father, so we can cohabitate with God in his circuits of time. He will take care of us. It's not about the here and now. This is brutal. It's sufferings before the glory, and to understand that we fell out of harmony with the universe. I'm just going on this word providence here. But he said, you're so thoughtful and caring, Felix, you and your invading army that's just looting us. We accept it always in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Thank you for coming in and invading our country. and being an occupying force. What a butt kisser. Notwithstanding, and there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to human character. Nothing new. Okay, it's intensified and escalates today. As we see, we're in the dynasty of censorship. We're past that, and we're going into the infodemic. They control information through censorship and obsessive messaging. They're going to control technology. So what? Just you watch this, the character of these people, you know, as they are today. I think I got ahead of myself there. Anyways, notwithstanding that, I be not further tedious of thee. I don't want to kiss your butt anymore. I pray thee that thou wouldest hear of thy clemency, thy gentle fair man. That's what he's saying in the manuscripts. This is where clemency means. Okay, thy gentle fair man, hear my few words, okay? Jeez. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout all the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. What a cheap shot, man. This is lawyers. Lawyers today do nothing but cast doubt on the truth. It's the greasiest profession on planet Earth. Here's your law book here, but do you think a lawyer cares about this? Find a lawyer that cares about this book. No, these are scripture lawyers here. Pestilent. Now, Matthew 24:7, this is... Jesus Christ uses this word pestilence when he's telling us all things. When he's telling us about the fourth seal, trump, and vial, Jesus Christ said, this is a fatal epidemic disease. It's a pestilence. It's an infodemic. They control information through censorship and obsessive messaging. I did get ahead of myself there. Okay, this is what's happening. And he's saying, kill the truth okay, I can't read my note. It's killing the truth is what's being said. Too bad I can't read this. Anyways, pestilence. He said, so look at what they're doing. This is how people are lying today. This is a good lesson for how people are lying today. And I got this off Tucker Carlson. It was a good example of how people lie today. So I can't take credit for this analogy. But it's like a little kid, okay? He's going, and mama's in the house, and little kid's ripping around during the day. And he's got, like, there's 10 cookies in a cookie jar, right? Okay, so they're gone by noon. Mom's like, where'd the cookies go? Did you eat the cookies? And he's like, no. First, it's just a little white lie, right? And then you say, oh, I only ate some of them. Okay, so we know. Okay, that's just an example of, you know, a lie. Okay, but now this is how people lie, and this is how they're lying back then, for an example to us. Did you eat the cookies, little Johnny? I didn't eat them, you ate them. You see what I mean? Turn the whole table on them, put you back on your heels, and next thing you know, you're defending yourself against a brutal lie that's not even close to being true. And this is what's happening here. A pestilent man, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes. They couldn't even call Paul a Christian. They didn't even have the jam to give Paul a Christian. Say, this is the Christian movement. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. Okay, all he was doing was going around teaching the truth. I know it's crazy that I can't read my note, and I just wrote it not even an hour ago, you know. Nazarenes. Remember the Nazarenes. Okay, we know from that. I'm not going back into the Old Testament. It's just that they took a vow. So he wouldn't allow them to be called Christians. Paul a Christian. Who hath also gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and we would have judged according to our law, whom we took, our law, their laws that they added to the manuscripts through their Talmud, for one thing. Well, I didn't mean to drop that because I read the Talmud. But anyways, all their laws and ceremonies that they added, there's a lot said here. Profane. Remember, this word profane runs a huge thread through the Bible. What did Satan do? God cast Satan out of his holy mountain as profane. You are profane. You defiled my sanctuary. You cast doubt on the truth. That's what this Tertullius is. He's nothing but a lawyer coming down here trying to cast doubt on the truth. And to try and make yes mean no and no mean yes. You know, there's no steadiness, there's no stability, there's no certainty there whatsoever. Judged according to our law, blaming Paul for profaning the temple. See how he's turned the table? Just like God said, Satan, you're kicked out of here. Because you defiled the sanctuary, you're profane. So that's a huge thread through the Bible that rips all the way back to Leviticus. Okay, but the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us with great violence and took him out of the way. Like, what did we do? We were just having a trial here. And with great violence, listen to this drama queen caking it on. He took him out of our hands. That's our prisoner there. We were judging him in our law, according to our law, in our temple. See how they call it ours, ours, ours? Commanding the accusers to come unto thee, by examining him from thyself, mayest take knowledge of these things, wherefore we accuse him. Okay, so now you change the whole court from where we had it all under control, right? All the way down. Now we had to trip 20 miles down to Caesarea here, and we're going to accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Oh yeah, all the butt kissers. Yes, this is true. This is, you can just see them all wearing their whited outfits with, you know, today you see them wearing big crosses and they're acting all holy. We see these people. Be careful of these people. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible couldn't have warned us more about these people, right? Couldn't have warned us more. All these things happen for examples for us in the end times. How do they kill the truth now? They downvote it. They do anything they can to get you kicked off the internet. Like, okay, let's just carry on here. People don't want to hear the truth. It's just not convenient. They think the Bible is written for your convenience, and then they hear the truth. They don't like it. So then you get these inspirational speakers using the Bible as a random book of quotes. And you have to understand, this book is written for our correction. God loves us. He wants his children back. But you cannot violate, God will not violate the principles of free will. It's up to you if you want to learn this book and understand. What? Are you hitting my leg for a reason?
No.
Okay, sorry. It threw me off. God will not violate the principles of free will. You cannot violate the principles of God without consequence. And the consequences are dire. This is for real. It's not surreal. It's for real. You're going somewhere when you die. Hell will accept you just the way you are. But if you want to get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. There's something in each of us that is not conducive to that place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And here's your instructions here on how to get back into harmony with the universe. And these people are going to stand in your way. Then Paul, after that, the governor had beckoned on him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto the nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself." Okay, I don't need a greasy lawyer here because I'm telling the truth. Watch this, okay? Paul's just like, I can just tell the truth here. Because that thou sayest, that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem. I was only there for 12 days, man. And look at the charges these guys are bringing against us, right? And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. I wasn't causing trouble anywhere. Neither can they prove these things where they now accuse me. They have no proof. They're lying flat out, okay? But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Heresy here is, they call heresy. What they're calling attention to is dissension, disagreements that lead to discord. Listen, I blew them out of the water. They all came against me, the Sadducees and Pharisees. And all I had to say was, hey, listen, there's life after death. And next thing you know, there was a riot. They were fighting each other. Hate united will always disintegrate. Evil will destroy itself from within. That's all there is to it. As it's written, that's God's plan. His plan to get rid of evil is to let it destroy itself from within. And if you want to take part in it, that's the fire inside of you, your ideologies, the internal passion of the mind. That's your burning emotion. If you can't let it go, then you get to go somewhere where you're in constant discord, distrust, disorder, arguing, trying to prove your point forever. You can have it. What verse are we on?
15.
And have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Oh yeah, you go somewhere when you die. Like, this is just crazy, people that sit around, the ambassadors of arrogance, that think, no, I just go to a hole in the ground. They totally ignore, where'd all the water come from for the ice age, and why did it freeze? Obviously, God gives us all these things that are just right in your face. You know, obviously, your psyche, your spirit, the intellect of your soul is a closed energy system. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It has to go somewhere when you die. Your body goes back in the dirt. It's an open energy system. You know, we can only exchange information. That's why we have entropy information theory as part of the laws of thermodynamics now. You can exchange light. The word information is not in your Bible. It's just the word light. When we're talking, we're not exchanging physical matter, but it's going into your psyche, your spirit, your governing index of your thoughts, feelings, intentions, what comes out in your actions. That's what you're judged on. This spirit, psyche, the intellect of your soul goes somewhere when you die. Death in the Bible, or all language, whether it's in the Quran, the Arab, Hebrew, or even the original Greek, never denotes non-existence. You will have a spiritual consciousness in connection with God, or a spiritual consciousness. That means you're going to be living somewhere, living, because energy cannot be created or destroyed, a closed energy system in the nether parts of the earth, where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever, because that's what you want right now anyway. And that is just so overwhelmingly sad to me. It's overwhelming that people just don't care. They don't consider the affairs of time, infinity back, infinity forward. We came from somewhere, the Bible answers every logical and moral objection known to mankind. And then we're going somewhere when we die. And this little short flesh age, and people are so self-occupied, so unthankful, unforgiving, overfed, unconcerned. No, it's all about the here and now. But there's nothing more important than where you go when you die, because there will be a permanent separation of people. And the emails I get and the comments are like, is God really going to send perfectly good people to hell? According to who? According to this, they're not perfectly good, because they have different ideologies on what it takes to have a peace beyond our present comprehension, a unity, a perpetual friendship, where you can sit there and you can be around a billion people and say, I can trust each and every single one. Can you imagine? It's beyond our present comprehension, just absolutely beyond. Or you can go to a place in other parts of the earth and be comforted there, where you just want to distrust and point fingers and cause disorder, chaos, pandemonium, and you just want to argue perpetually. Arguing and discord and disdain, it will not stop. Okay, so be very careful. There's nothing more important than where you go when you die. And today is the most important day of your life. Just repent to Lord Jesus Christ. Submit with an unquestioned obedience. Surrender your entire existence over to the Lord Jesus Christ upon repentance. That means you have a change of heart towards the sin itself. A change of attitude. Say, cleanse me of everything that is offensive to your kingdom, my Lord Jesus Christ. Be saturate me with your Holy Spirit. Cover me with your veil. Wrap me in your vesture. Please hold my hand, my Lord Jesus Christ. You are my shepherd. I shall not want another. My good shepherd, my great shepherd, my only shepherd. You're my rock, my only stability, my only security, my only certainty in this time that they even say, the mainstream media constantly, these times of uncertainty. Well, yeah, that's what you'll get in other parts of the earth if that's what you like. What verse are we on?
16.
And herein, I do exercise myself to have always a good conscience, void of offense towards God and towards man. Amen. I'm aware of my thoughts, feelings, intents, and actions. I am meek in the Hebrew. That means I afflict myself with self-discipline. I'm not just going to go with the flow. I could get myself out of here easily if I just said, yeah, I was a Pharisee. I made a few mistakes. I started teaching Jesus Christ. Okay, you guys cool now. I'm going to go back and be one of you guys again, right? No, he knows how to say no to himself. He knows that suffering's before the glories. He knows. Say no to yourself in the face of all the vain curiosities and temptations. And being a man pleaser, that's what gets people into these churches. They want to fit in, like you just said. It felt like we fit in there. Mm-hmm. We were one of them. And then remember, they wanted to meet me somewhere out of the church. And I'll never forget it. I brought my Bible. These people from the churches that I've met, I've never brought a Bible. So I'm sitting at Starbucks with my Bible. And this guy comes in and he wants to talk about groups. He wants to talk about anything except the Bible. And I'm sitting there with this copy that I always carry. And then I said, you know what? That church service on Sunday, I want my money back. He's like, what? I said, you didn't teach me anything out of the Bible. Like, I mean nothing. I put $50 in there. I want my $50 back. He goes, you only put $50 in there? He tore it. He tore at me, man. He lost his money. You only put $50 in there? And then I find this guy and I pray for this guy. He totally depends on the church. He's got 7 children. And it's just like, there's something wrong here, man. There's something wrong. None of the groups were about Bible study. There was no Bible study. It was all about churchy church, ceremonial, ripping around, listening to this rock and roll band. Like, it was like a rave, a lame rave. What? It's the way the music goes. Like,
I know, and then it drops.
Oh, you want to do Molly and go to one of these church raves?
Oh, stop.
Yeah, I know you do.
Come on,
Jeremy.
Let's go.
What verse
17.
And now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation. Yeah, he's coming up back to the church to give thanks. Okay, you know, that's what he was doing. Where for certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple. That's where I was. They made a huge scene. They gaslighted him. You know, back, this is back from chapter 21, verse 18. Neither with multitude or entombment, I was sitting there getting purified in the temple. That's where they saw me. And now, you know, just go back a few verses. Look at what they're saying. Pestilent, mover of sedition of the Jews around the world. Ringleader, you know. 18, 19. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. They're not even here. These people saw me. Where are they? Where are these witnesses for me? It's just these hate-filled people. Or else let them say the same hearsay. If they have found any evil doing to me while I stood before the council, what do you guys have on me? You got nothing on me. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question of you this day. Yeah, when I saw hate united out there, when I saw the Pharisees and Sadducees that hate each other, they have two different churches. It's all about the money, getting people in there. Paul was taking people out of the churches. That's why you see the financial interest in the outcome. They have those baskets, people throw money in them. We see it still same thing today. If you're going to take people out of the church, they're going to come against you. It was all about the money. Follow the money. And Paul said, look at, all I said was resurrection of the dead, and these two guys went at each other, and it turned into a riot. And they had to pull me out of there. And here I am. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of the matter. So more perfect knowledge that way. This means more better. I know that's not good English.
That's terrible.
He says he has better knowledge. This, no one's perfect. Okay, so get this perfect out here. More perfect is one word in the manuscript, so it's more better. I have more better knowledge. Okay, he has better knowledge of what Paul's talking about than what,
So he'll have accurate knowledge.
Better. More better. Okay, 23. Accurate. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. So there's Paul in jail right away. He got the best job in jail. Probably maintenance or probably the guy with the bucket and the mop. He just gets to trip around all day in the jail itself. He has liberty in the jail. He can see his friends and everything. So it's not hard time. He's not sitting in the hole. He's not in level 5 max. He's just tripping around. Good. But Paul's not going to go anywhere, right? Going to go anywhere. And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla. That's kind of a cool name, eh? Drusilla. Do you like it?
No.
Whatever. Which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Okay, so Felix and his wife sent for Paul. And it's actually, I would suggest that pronoun there, he sent for Paul, in the manuscripts, is she sent for Paul, is what is in my notes, which I write. I studied. Anyways, they sent for Paul. We'll just leave that there so we don't get all pronouned out here. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperaments, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, for I have a convenient season. I will call you. So this is upsetting, like the judgment coming, righteousness. Felix wasn't ready to hear it. You know, he's still like, I'm a big shot governor here. I'm trying to get maybe a Julius Caesar job for myself. And there's a lot here that I'm of the ways of the world. And this is against the ways of the world. So it was upsetting to him. But watch this. Watch this. A convenience. I'll call you when I feel like it. I'll come back and see you, Paul. Don't worry. This is the governor against an inmate. This never happens. Like, think of, like, try and grasp this, right? You know? He hoped also money should have been given him to Paul. So he's looking for a bribe, right? He wants to get this guy out of here somehow, and he's going to make it work. But that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him often and communed with him. This is horrible translation here. Just means he tried for a bribe like every government official on earth. But he visited Paul often. He was interested in what he heard. Okay. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. So Felix was done. All right. This just means he just had a new job and we got this new Porcius Festus guy. That's quite the name. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Okay, so Felix, even in the end, could have got Paul back to Rome, But this is, you know, don't worry about it. Paul's ticket stamped him back into Rome. And he just wanted to not cause an uproar on his way out, on his exit, because he didn't want to infringe on his pension. Right, Tam? Okay, I want to thank you very much for watching. CompanionChapel.com or CompanionChapel@gmail.com if you'd like to email us. Have yourself a great day, and bye for now.
God bless.